We, of course, in Savannah have been doing a foundational class, and it's been a blessing because we get back into some of those basic fundamental truths that we learned in that class and are sharing with them, and it's wonderful to see it again and to review those things again because, you know, the more you go to God's Word, the more you understand, the more you see, the more God opens the eyes of your understanding. And it doesn't matter how many times you've read a specific verse. If you're looking to God to open the eyes of your understanding, it's alive every time you come to it. It's because this word is a living word, because it was written by a living God. You know, not men's words. We find, you know, we look at those very simple things about what the Bible says about itself and how we came to have this Bible. You know, where did we get this Bible? Was it just a bunch of men that decided one afternoon, you know, when they had nothing to do, you know, to write a story about God? You know, no, it was holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. You know, God told these men what to write. He told them how to write it. He told them what exactly to say. See? And this is a great reality to come to. Because this word is important to us because it's God's word, not because it's some man's idea about God. Or, you know, maybe let's make up something that's called God and we'll tell a story about it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is God revealing Himself to us. You know, that's why this word is so important. Hold your finger there in Colossians. Look at Psalm 19. See, this written word of God is important to us. Its value is priceless. You can't put a price on knowing God and what He is all about. In Psalm 19, this is a great couple of verses here. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge." God's creation. You know, you look at the creation of the earth and the heavens. God created all of that. God put every star out there. He made and created every star. He created the sun when He said, "Let there be light." He created those life that's in those trees out there, and in every insect, in every animal. He is the design behind it. He is the mastermind behind it all. And everywhere you look declares that there is a God. Everywhere you look declares that there is one. And you'd be brain dead to think there isn't. You'd have to be a scientist, you know, refusing to believe that there is a creator. Not to believe Him. And then the more scientists get into it and get into it and get into it, the more they realize, we can't figure this out. There's got to be a God. The further they get into it, the more they study, the more they try and understand, the more they come to the realization that this just didn't happen. There has to be an intelligent design to it, and that's their euphemism for God. You know, an intelligent design. What are you saying? A God? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. That's what we're saying. Intelligent design. You know, that there is a design. God, everything around you, you look at it, it declares that God is. And now, you know, and He has given us His Word to declare who He is. Creation declares His handiwork. It declares the glory of God. That there is a God. There's no question in anyone who has eyes and can look and see and think. But His Word is what declares to us who He is and what He is willing to do for His creation, which is us. And when we look at Colossians, now let's look at Colossians. You know, every day those things speak loudly as to the reality of God. And every day His Word speaks as to who He is and what He's willing to do for us. And that's why this knowledge of God is so important. That's why this written word is so important to all of us. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 9, it says, "For this cause We also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, God's desire is not just that we become saved and have eternal life. That certainly is a big thing. We need our salvation. Praise God, we have it by grace through Jesus Christ. But God also desires that we know Him right now. That, you know, we have a limited time on this earth. And God desires for us to know Him and know what He is willing to do for us. To be filled with a knowledge of His will. In all spiritual understanding, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's not just having a head knowledge of it. It's being able to carry it with you and live it. To believe it. Because knowledge in and of itself doesn't mean much. Knowledge alone, when knowledge is received and accepted as knowledge, here it is, this Word of God, the Bible, it's potential. It is potential. When you know what God's willing to do for you, you have the potential of everything that God states and promises in His Word. But it is not until you believe it that it becomes power to you. Real power and strength to you. That's what God's desire is that we come to a knowledge of His Word. The Greek word for knowledge means a full, precise, accurate knowledge. It's not just knowing that God desires for you to prosper and be in health. It's knowing it in reality in your life. It's seeing Him do things for you. It's seeing Him heal you. It's seeing Him provide for you. That you really know that God's willing to heal you because your knee was healed, Cameron. You know in your heart and life, Anthony, that God is willing to answer your prayers because you prayed to Him about one thing and then basically, well, it's still up there. And God answered that prayer. How? Not just by putting it on someone else's heart. You know, you had a prayer to God, AJ, to, you know, God, show me something. Give me an avenue to pursue. Open a door for me. And boom, He opens that door. He shows you specifically. Now you really know that God is willing to do something for you. Now you really know His promise is true. That's what God desires for us. Not just to assimilate it in our head, but to experience it in our lives. That's real knowledge. That's really knowing. It's not knowing a verse or two. It's seeing it alive in your life. This is great stuff. This is why, you know, Hosea speaks the way it speaks in Hosea 4, right? This is a verse we look at in the foundational class, Hosea chapter 4. You know, people struggle in life not knowing God, not knowing what He is willing to do for them, or not being willing to accept it and believe it and make it a reality in our life. In chapter 4, right, verse 6. Yeah. Right after Daniel. You got it? Hosea 4, verse 6. Says, "My people are destroyed." And this is what God's saying. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Did you find it? Chapter 4, verse 6. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." It's certainly not a lack of knowledge of science. They didn't have science back then. So what was God talking about? It wasn't science. It wasn't about the importance of seatbelts or airbags or crash dummies. It was the importance of a knowledge of Him and what He had promised to do for His people. Those things are all fine and good. You know, you do what's logical to do. But a knowledge of God's Word is where we need to be. You know, that's where people get caught up and get defeated. By a lack of knowing what God's really capable of doing and able to do for them and willing to do. Or not accepting it once they know it. They stop. They have the potential, but they stop short of believing it and walking like it's true. And therefore, they have no power. And they find themselves being destroyed. You know, either laying in a pile of ashes or, you know, or on the process of going there. They're destroyed. You know, we don't have to live that way because of the knowledge that we have. In Jeremiah, right, chapter 2, Jeremiah, these are two of the first verses that we cover within that foundational class, the material therein, and it's so alive. You know, this is what speaks very plainly as to how important this word really is, and a knowledge of it. Having a knowledge of it is invaluable. Chapter 2, verse 11. This is a great lead in to verse 13. It says, Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. This is God speaking via the mouth of the prophet. God says to Jeremiah, tell them this. Tell them how I feel about this. And say it exactly how I've said it to you. And so Jeremiah comes and says, thus saith the Lord. This is what God's saying. Quote, I quote. This is what he said. Hath a nation changed their gods into something that isn't a god? Mm. You know, there's only one true God, the Creator. All the rest aren't gods. You know, Shiva, not a god. The elephant with a man's body or whatever it is. The monkey with a man's body. They're not gods. Really, they're just images. They're just carved images or painted images. And yet people have changed them into their god. And they're not gods. And then God's scratching his head going, have my people done this? My people have done this? God is like, I'm shocked. But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit them. You know, if they would just turn to me, God's saying, if they would just turn to me, they would have great glory, they would have great power, they would have great lives. And yet they've turned to something else that will profit them zip. Nothing. Won't get them anywhere. And then verse 12, read verse 12, it says, be astonished, O ye heavens, and this is still, you know, God speaking, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. You know, God is like shouting out to the angels in heaven, isn't this amazing what they've done? And the Septuagint in verse 12 reads, literally, it translates it, the heaven is amazed at this, and very exceedingly horror-struck, saith the Lord. And what a great translation. That's the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The heavens are, they're just like amazed. God is speaking on behalf of His realm, the realm of all the angels in heaven that are observing God's people. They've turned away from You, God. This is amazing that they would do such a thing. And it's also, it struck horror in their hearts because they knew what was ultimately the end going to be. The end is not good when people turn away from the true God. They have no profit there. You know, so, I mean, this is a great illustration of the importance of the Word. The written word. For verse 13 now says, my people have committed two evils. My people have committed two evils. They've done two really stupid things. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's number one. You know, they've forsaken me. They've turned to gods that really aren't gods. They're not. They're not real. They've forsaken me, and I'm a fountain of living water. You can come and drink anytime you want. Right? It's always there. A fountain is always there. It always has a supply. And, number two, they've hewed out themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, a cistern is they would carve out a big hole in a rock to catch the water when it rained in the arid areas of the Middle East. And after the rain, they would come and they'd see, oh, wow, this is great. We got this big rock that's got a big humongous hole in it and it's filled with water. Praise God. Now we got some water. Except the problem is that it had a crack in the bottom. It's like, you know, a hole in the liner of the pool. You know, when there's a hole in the liner, you go out there, boy, it's hot today, I think I'll go for a swim. And you get out there, and it's empty. What happened? It all leaked out. They can hold no water. See, the things that God, that people do to replace God don't hold any water. All of man-made replacements for the true God don't do you any good. It's having a knowledge of His Word and what He's willing to do that keeps us from that. Keeps us from turning to other things that are no profit to us. And knowledge of His Word keeps us. Knowledge of Him and who He is. Because His Word declares who He is and what He's willing to do. That's why it's so important to us. So that we can have what we need when we need it. When it's so blistering hot out and we just want to take a dip, the water's there and it's the perfect temperature. When we need a drink, it's always there. When we need anything, it's always there for us. Because God is there. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. There's some great things in Proverbs about having a knowledge of God. Having a accurate understanding of Him, His promises, what He's willing to do for you. And the benefit that it is to us. You know, this is not just learning Scripture, you know, because we're good Christians. This is learning about our Heavenly Father and what He's willing to do for us. What He's done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we have a knowledge of this, there's great benefit to our lives. We don't need cisterns. Mm-hmm. Because we have a fountain of supply, a constant source of supply. We have the true God, who is our Heavenly Father. In Proverbs chapter 2, we'll start there in verse 1. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." And again, remember, who is this? When we read this, we know the history behind it. Okay, it's Solomon. It's accredited to Solomon, right? Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. So, Solomon was inspired by God and said, "I want you to write some things. And let's write it like this. We'll say that you're the father and you're speaking to your sons, your children. That's how we're going to write it. Okay, Solomon? Are you sure you want to do it that way?" Yes, I'm sure. Okay, then I'll write it that way. And so this really is not just Solomon writing. It's God. It's God's heart as a father to his kids. And he says, "Look, my son, if thou wilt receive my words," God speaking to you, "if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Now listen to these words. You know, it's communicating an effort on our part. It's an effort. There's an effort involved in coming to a knowledge of the truth. It's not just, you don't just sit there one day and pray to understand something and God just lays this whole, you know, revelation in your lap without doing anything. You have to seek Him. Right? God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You know, if your heart is seeking an understanding of Him, if your heart is seeking Him and a knowledge of His promises, if you incline your ear, if when God speaks, and you know He speaks, every time you open the Bible, you can read and you can hear God's voice to you. You know, either speaking to you about other people who have believed Him, other people who have not believed Him, or Him, He Himself, or His Son, what He has done for you. It's God's Word to you, teaching you, instructing you. So incline your ear to it. Oh, okay, God speaking. "Unto that wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Apply your heart to it. Boy, God, I just want to understand you. I want to understand how simple this really is. Because that's, you know, the bottom line is God's very simple. He's very easy to understand. Yea, verse 3 says, if you cry after knowledge, God, I just want to know you. I don't want to know the results of this crash dummy test. I want to know you and what you're willing to do for me. I don't want to know necessarily anything that man thinks he knows. I want to know you. If you just cry after him and knowing him. Lift us up your voice for understanding. If you seek her understanding, that's the her there. If you seek her as silver and searches for her as for hidden treasures, for understanding God's word, God's knowledge, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. You'll understand what respect for God is all about. Fear of the Lord is respect or awe. It's having an awe for God. It's having just like this, oh, God is just so incredibly awesome. He's so gracious. He's so forgiving. He's so merciful. He's so tender. He's so kind. He's so good to me. All these things that God is, you begin to understand. You begin to know. And you begin to have an awe for God. But it's not without effort, see? And find the knowledge of God. Wow, you'll understand that respect that we as God's kids are to have for Him. And we will find a knowledge of Him. We will know Him. We will really know our Heavenly Father. We will really know what it is to be loved and cared for by God. That's an incredible thing to come to. And see, because it's such a benefit for our lives to do that, that's why the heaven was awestruck at this. That's why the horror ran through the hearts of the angels when they saw what these people were turning their back on. That's they were like, oh, I can't believe this. And they shuddered in horror. Because they'd gone through it before. Because within the pages of the knowledge of God's Word is the record of the adversary and his turning away from the true God. The devil. Lucifer. And how he gathered support from a third of the angels in heaven and made war against all the rest of God's heaven to try and take his position, take the Creator's position. Those angels saw the results of that. And they knew when they had conquered and won the battle against the devil and his angels, what the consequences were for that. Whoa, why would anyone turn against the true God? Why would anyone think that they could? He's the Creator. We're only here because He created us. That's why they were shocked. They couldn't believe it. And, you know, we can learn from that. We can see, wow, is it really that valuable to us to know God? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Most definitely. If you keep reading a little bit. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Out of His mouth. You know, we think we know so much. Men think they know so much. Oh, I'm so smart. Oh, look at all I've found out with my studies. Oh. And yet, really, we know so little in comparison to the Creator who has become our Father. What do we really know? Well, I mean, it's like, doing, doing, doing. Okay. All right. I mean, on my best day, I couldn't create anything that's out there. I couldn't create a grain of sand on my best day. On my best day, I couldn't figure out how to create one of those out of nothing. Oh, I could take a shell from the seashore and start to pulverize it and try and come up with a piece of sand. But you know what? Even doing that wouldn't quite make it happen like the rolling of the surf and the water. Not to mention, I've got to figure out how to create a shellfish first to get... See, on my best day, I'm sorry, I can't figure that out. Ah, oh, but God. God, that's a God is awesome. He is awesome. And verse 7 says, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. And the righteous, we know, are those that believe Him. He lays up sound wisdom for us, you know, to wisdom so that we can really live life and be blessed. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And a buckler is that centerpiece on the shields that they used to carry in war. They had a buckler, what they call a buckler, like this big hump with a spike sticking out of it, and it was like defensive and offensive, you know, on the shield. Yeah, the shield was defensive, and then a buckler on the front was a.
You know. So
it wasn't a buckle of a belt, okay? It was defensive as well as offensive. That's what God is for us. Do you like my sound effects?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we like those. See, to them that walk uprightly, you know, to those that cry after knowledge, seek after understanding. See, those are the ones that get this benefit. In verse 8, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. You know, He preserves your way. He takes care of you. You know, His saints, that's His holiest ones. Well, we have been called heaven's holiest because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His saints now. He takes care of us. He preserves us. He gives us all these great benefits when we know Him and know what He's willing to do for us. Let's read a few more Proverbs. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, don't forget about it tomorrow morning. How great God is, you know, or what He's expecting, you know, us to do. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Length of days, long life and peace. You know, and some people look at that and they go, well, this person here was a great believer, and you know, he died and he was only 50 years old. He wasn't even 50 years old. 48 years old. Well, what do you think his life would have been had he not believed God? He'd probably been dead at 30. Maybe 25. You know, God doesn't define what length of days is in long life. But He knows the flesh. He knows that each of our flesh is what it is. Some of us have longevity in our genes. Some of us don't. But one promise is, you will have length of days and long life. You. If you know God and believe it, believe who He says He is, believe who He says He is and what He has made you and what He's willing to do for you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let them get away from you. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, this is a good thing to have. This is a good thing to have. And you don't get it just by going out there and looking at the heavens and knowing that there's a God. You get it when your heart cries after knowledge. God, show me who you really are. Show me from your word what you have declared yourself to be and what you're willing to do for me. And when we do that, we get all these great benefits. You know, we have the fountain of supply when we need it. We have Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what we got to do. With all of our heart, not just with some of it. When God says, don't worry about it, by His stripes you were healed. How are you going to do that though? Let Him do it. Let Him do His part. God, I don't feel too favored out there in the world. Promises, you will find it. Eventually, you will find it. You will find favor. Because you have God's favor, you'll have the favor of men too. Men will just do things for you. People will just all of a sudden just decide to do something for you. Right? I don't know why, but that's what God promises. And it's nice to know that. It's nice to know that. You know, it reminds me of that verse of Scripture in Colossians, I think it is. No, Corinthians, maybe. Where you know, people were really bugging the heck out of Paul. They were possessed, devil spirits, and they were bugging the heck out of him. You know, wherever he went, there was just like bugging him. And he said, you know, God, three times I've come to you for this. I asked you three times to take care of this. You know, I'm not finding favor in these people's eyes. Now, will you please do something? And God's answer to him was, my favor is sufficient for you, isn't it? Isn't it good enough to have my favor? My grace is sufficient for thee. Isn't it good enough for your life that I take care of you? That I favor you? And yeah, it really is. No matter what, no matter how long it takes God to get within the hearts of people to have them favor you, you still have God's favor. You know, a lot of people have been challenged with that same thing. Right? Joseph, you know, he did not find favor in his brother's eyes. They sold him to slave traders. Dang.
Real tight knit.
Yeah, real tight knit family. You talk about dysfunctional. Holy moly. But eventually, he found favor in the sight of men. Didn't find favor in the sight of Potiphar's wife. No. She got him thrown in jail. But then he, by revelation, understood the dreams. He understood things, and he found favor and wound up being Pharaoh's right hand. You know, knowing what God is capable of doing adds such benefit to us. It brings us such blessing and such benefits. You know, we can't ever, ever forget how important it is to have this knowledge. But then again, it must be knowledge that's applied. Because if it's not believed, if we just know, okay, well, yeah, I see what that verse says, but I don't really truly believe it with 100% of my heart, I never see it powerfully exhibited in my life. So that's what we really desire to do, you know, is to come to that place where we not only know it, but we walk with it day by day. We really believe it in our hearts. We take action on it. Because believing is action. It's, if I believe that God will stand behind these promises, then I'll act that way. I'll expect answers to prayer. I'll expect my physical body to be healed when I need it. I'll expect the adversary to get the heck out of my way when I'm coming through. Get out of the way. Because Son of God's coming through. I will expect that. I will expect to walk as a son of God and have all the benefits because I know that they're there. So, you know, these are great things to know because it changes all of our lives when we really believe these things. And we struggle sometimes to believe them, but it doesn't change God. It doesn't change His care for you. It doesn't change His willingness to even go a little bit further than what He's promised, just to make sure that you know He favors you. All right, Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the way You continue to work mightily in our lives. And God, we can be thankful because we know that You have declared who You are and what You're willing to do in the greatness of Your Word. Thank You, Father, for these things and for seeing great signs, miracles, and wonders come to pass in our lives as we seek You and believe Your promises. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ.